This is the Weekly Parshah with Rabbi Mendel Lipska from Chabad of Hyde Park.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you to share some ideas, talk about important things. Look at the Parsha, try to understand what, in fact, the Parsha is telling us this week. This eternal, wonderful gift from God, the Torah that He gave us, which contains everything that we have to know, everything that we have to understand about life, about living, about sharing, everything that we have to know in order to fulfill our purpose here on earth and to make this world a better place. This is what Torah is all about. Torah is not merely a book of laws or a book of stories or a history book. It has that as well. It's far beyond that. It is the wisdom of God that He, with great grace, chose to share with His people when He gave them the Torah. And what a special Shabbos this is. This is the Shabbos that we actually read about, Matan Torah. We read about the fact that God came down to Mount Sinai and gave the Jewish people the Torah, revelation at Sinai, that great and wonderful story. Although each and every single word in Torah has equal holiness and equal purpose, equal in every sense of the word, being the words of God Himself. Nonetheless, when we talk about the story of Matan Torah, when we talk about the story of receiving the Torah at Sinai, revelation at Sinai, somehow it carries with it a degree of importance. Somehow this is the moment that changed everything. Somehow this is the moment that brought about a tremendous transformation in the world. God created a world, an imperfect world. God created an imperfect world for a very real reason that we've often discussed, in order to allow each and every one of us to play a role as a partner in the great creation that He brought into being. Each and every one of us has a specific dimension of the world of creation that no one else possesses. Each and every one of us is unique. Each and every one of us is an individual in the fullest sense of the word. We have something to contribute. We have something to share. We have one area of God's great creation that we and only ourselves can fulfill and to bring about its ultimate purpose. And this is why, when we talk about this week's parasha, the fact that Torah is coming down into the world, God Himself is going to descend onto Mount Sinai and give the Jewish people the Torah, it tells us that this is the great moment that somehow makes us fully aware and understand what it was all about. What, in fact, was creation? What God needed this world for? God is perfect in every sense of the word. God is beyond any type of limitation, any type of restriction. And yet He creates a world. He brings a world into being. As mentioned before, an imperfect world. A world where He gave man the power of bechira, of choice. Each and every single individual has the power to fulfill the will of God, or God forbid, go against the will of God. Each and every one of us has the power to be a partner within creation and to do something positive, to help build, to bring change in a positive way. Or God forbid, we have destructive power as well. We have the ability of doing things that unfortunately result in chaos and confusion. Why would God want a world? And it's in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, when God comes down on Mount Sinai and gives His people, the Jewish people, the Torah, He gives them that great gift of His knowledge by delving into Torah deeper and deeper and deeper, each and every one of us according to their own ability, each and every one of us obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of studying the Torah, then we begin to have insight. We begin to have a degree of clarity what this is all about, why God, infinite beyond any description, wants to bring an imperfect world and give man within that world such incredible power. The power of creation, the power of doing positive things, and the power of destruction. And yet when we understand Torah, we begin to understand what in fact God's intentions were all about. We begin to understand why He did what He did. It wasn't a game. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't something that He simply did because He was bored, God forbid. It's because there's a very real and specific purpose. And it's within this parsha that we somehow have to find some dimension of clarity. What is it all about? What happened at this great moment? What happened? happened at this great event, the world changed dramatically, forever. It will never be the same again, 2,000 years into creation, and the world has changed permanently. God came down and did something extraordinary. He gave the world his wisdom. His wisdom means his clarity, his light, his ability to give us the ability to understand him and his purpose. And this is what this Parsha really is all about. It's the story of Matan Torah. It's the story of receiving the Torah. It's the story of revelation at Sinai. And this is why it's a special Parsha, a Parsha which is pivotal, a Parsha which changes things within all of creation for all of time. And this is why, even though we read every Parsha with the same degree of dedication and commitment, somehow this Parsha carries with it a dimension of greater importance. It's that moment which changed everything. And what's the name of this week's Parsha? The name of this week's Parsha is Yitro. Who was Yitro? Yitro, as the Torah tells us right at the beginning of the Parsha, he had a wonderful son-in-law. Who was his son-in-law? Yes, none other than Moshe, Moses himself, the great liberator, the one who took the Jewish people out of Egypt, the one who actually brings the Torah to the Jewish people, the ultimate leader. Moshe, as we so often discussed, was the greatest of Jewish leaders, a person so completely dedicated to the welfare and goodness of each and every single individual that he put himself at risk so many times, really, in terms of his relationship with God himself, in order to protect his people, in order to ensure that his people would continue with strength, with pride, and with dignity. This is who Jethro was. Yitro was the father-in-law of this great man, Moshe. Yitro had other qualities as well. He was a very knowledgeable person. In fact, he was Kohen Midian. He was the high priest, not only the high priest, the religious leader of Midian, he was the political leader of Midian as well. He was a very intelligent human being. In fact, our sages tell us that he was well-versed in each and every single idol worship that ever existed. He knew every philosophy. He knew every dimension of all those, so to speak, gods that people have created over the centuries. He was a master. He understood it all. He understood it to the point that he was able to intellectually reject each and every single idol that was ever worshipped. We think idolatry is something which is new to our world. Idolatry has many faces. Idolatry has many manifestations. Idolatry basically is something which is man-made and challenges the absolute unity of God, the absolute oneness of God. It doesn't mean they don't accept that God is creator of heaven and earth. They might accept that. It doesn't mean that they don't accept that God exists. But in addition to God, they create all sorts of other images, other forces, other energies that they attribute divinity to. There are many gods. This is what idolatry is all about. It's the fault of the human understanding as to what in fact God is, and therefore has to create all sorts of other structures and ideas, philosophies, to the point where they create actual images, statues, where they believe there is divine energy. And just take a look at some of the so-called religions of the world and what dimensions of idolatry they might contain. This is Jethro. Yitro knows each and every single idol. He understands every single philosophy. He is a genius, a highly intelligent human being. He knows these things, he studies these things, and therefore is able to intellectually disprove each and every single one of them. He comes to Moshe because, after all, he is a father-in-law, and Moshe's wife and children still remained in Midian. He brought them to the desert, and Jethro wants to see, who are these people? What is so special about B'nai Israel, the Jewish people? Why did God intervene? God himself, why would God intervene within creation to somehow connect with a very specific people and give them that great dignity of becoming his chosen people, taking them out of Egypt, liberating them from every type of bondage, and ultimately giving them the Torah? More of that soon.
This is the Weekly Parsha with Rabbi Mendel Lipska from Chabad of Hyde Park.
So we're talking about Yitro. Yitro, as said before, after all, father-in-law of Moshe, was also the high priest of Midian. And it's somewhat strange, somewhat puzzling, and perhaps more than somewhat puzzling, why the Torah that is given to the Jewish people, the ultimate moment of God's revelation upon earth, the ultimate moment of God bringing the Torah to the Jewish people and changing all of creation forevermore, why is it in fact that he, at this moment, tells the story within a parsha that is named after the high priest of Midian? After all, for many years, Jethro was an idol worshiper. Jethro was a man who was dedicated not to the faith in one God, not to the faith of the God that brings the Torah down to the Jewish people. Yes, he may have accepted that there is a God way on high, but he was involved in all sorts of idolatry. True, after a while, he rejects them. He intellectually sees that they are faulty, that they are empty, and therefore knows they are wrong, but he continues to search within the world of idolatry, within the world of philosophies contrary to the Torah of God. Why would the Torah be given in a parsha named after such a person? After all, yes, he is the father-in-law of Moshe, but at the same time carries with him what many would consider to be a stigma, a stain. His soul cannot be pure, it cannot be holy, because after all, so much of his life, his great life, his intellectual life, was devoted to idol worship, etc. And perhaps by listening to the words of Yitro himself, we begin to have some sort of insight into what's happening, and it also gives us an insight into what Matan Torah, what Revelation at Sinai, was all about. Listen carefully to what he says. Moshe is talking to his father-in-law Jethro and telling him about the great miracles and wonders that God did to the Jewish people. Took him out of Egypt, the battle against the Amalek, the great things that happened, the splitting of the sea, all sorts of interventions by God himself within his creation in order to somehow highlight one group of people, his chosen people, the Jewish people. And Yitro listens to all of that. What does Yitro say? Vayomer Yitro, and Yitro says as follows, "Blessed be God that he rescued you from the hand of Egypt and from the hands of Pharaoh. And he took the nation out of bondage from under the authority of Egypt." He says, "Atayadati, now I know, ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'malekim, God is greater than any other God," etc., etc., etc. What does Yitro say over here? What is he saying that tells us that something has happened which is incredibly dramatic, and not only dramatic in the sense that a person as great, as intelligent as Yitro begins to admit, but in actual fact we begin to sense that this is a prelude, this is a preparation, this is the opening curtain, so to speak, which allows for Matan Torah, which allows for Revelation at Sinai, which allows for God coming down and giving the Torah to the Jewish people. Now what happened at Sinai? What happened that was so dramatic? What happened that was so great? When we take a look, it was an incredible moment. Mountain itself billowing with smoke, fire going all the way to heaven, incredibly loud noises, thunder, lightning. The world was still, the world, all of creation, anticipating this great moment when God himself would descend upon the mountain. There is this incredible sound and light show almost that is spectacular in every sense of the word. What's happening? What does God say? God says, here are the Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, be moral, etc., etc. And one thinks, okay, you talk about the first commandment, I am God, your God, faith in God, I can understand that it needs this incredible introduction, this incredible moment when all of creation is changing dramatically, and the sound and sight and light and miracles that took place. But to tell us to be moral, to tell us not to kill, not to steal, to tell us to behave correctly, to somehow contain ourselves in terms of who we are and what we are. This is what this dramatic moment was all about. This is why God himself had to come down on Sinai and tell the Jewish people. This is something that we need God to tell us. After all, we understand that these are laws by which every society must abide and live by. If you don't live by these laws, you will have anarchy, destruction, chaos. You will have a mad, insane world. Is this the great message that God gives us, simple laws? And we begin to wonder, what in fact is God saying? Are they in fact simple laws? Are they in fact simple laws? And if they are, why do we need a dramatic show that accompanies all of this? If in fact it's simple laws that God wants to give us and share with us, by all means. But why was it necessary for the mountain to billow with smoke and the fire and the thunder and the lightning and all of creation responding in the way that it did? Why is it necessary to have this grand, incredible, spectacular presentation just to be told a number of rather logical, simple laws? And the answer, of course, is that although it sounds simple, it's not. Because what is happening here, the transformation that is happening over here, is that not only is God giving us a code to live by, but he is allowing something to take place that hasn't existed before and couldn't exist before. What God is allowing for the highest of the high, the ultimate spiritual levels, and the lowest of the low, the ultimate physical dimensions, to come together and create a wholeness within creation. Creation was great, but there was a tremendous divide between the higher and the lower, between the spiritual and the physical, between the holy and the profane. They were two separate worlds. One could not enter the other. God created the world initially in such a way that the spiritual domain remained on high and the physical domain came down into this material, earthy world. And they were two separate kingdoms. One could not move from one to the other. What took place at Sinai is that God says, now is the moment that through Torah and with Torah, we are able to bring about the ultimate unity between the higher spiritual worlds and the lower physical worlds and create the perfection of unity, the perfection of a universal purpose within every single aspect of creation that is connected from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. And what connects the high worlds and the low worlds? As we are human beings living in a limited low world, we live in a physical world. We are driven by physical urges. We are driven by all sorts of energies that are not necessarily spiritual or divine. Yes, we know that there is a higher purpose, we know that there's a greater purpose, but the fact remains, we are creatures that function within the physical realm, we are creatures that function within the physical world. We eat, we sleep, we do whatever is necessary in order for us to continue as a people. And most of what we do is physical. We work the land, we till the land, we plow the land, we harvest the land, we do whatever it is, we live within a physical world. And suddenly, at Matan Torah, what happens is that we begin to see that through the commandments that God gave us, through his mitzvot, each and every one of them becomes a conduit, which not only connects the high and the low, but it's a conduit which is able to draw down incredible spiritual energy and spiritual awareness, divine energy and divine awareness into this physical world, and it elevates the physical world to a higher purpose. What we once upon a time saw and understood to be two separate worlds, two separate realities that had no connection between them. Now we begin to see that we have the power, we have the strength through physical mitzvot, through physical commandments, to create conduits that connect the high and the low, and they become conduits which through them comes this incredible divine energy into the physical world, and it elevates the physical into a higher purpose. It's not only that there is an intermingling between the spiritual and the physical, but that there is an ultimate purpose that is fulfilled only through us being in the physical world and reaching on to the highest of the high and bringing down that divine energy into the physical world. It's the physical world that contains the potential of bringing about the unity, of bringing about the wholeness, the completion of God's creation. It's not merely that we bring divine energies into the world. It's not only that we bring holiness into the world and we overwhelm the physical dimension. Every physical act done properly within the context of a mitzvah becomes a conduit, becomes a pillar that connects the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, and it becomes a conduit which makes the physical becomes spiritual, and the spiritual enters into the physical world. Yes, it existed to a certain degree before Matan Torah. It existed to a certain degree before God gave us the Torah. The patriarchs, the heads of the tribes, they had certain dimensions, but the world still remained a creation of two separate realities. At Matan Torah, all of that changes. And what only changes is not only the ability of bringing down the divine energy through the mitzvah into the physical world and elevating the physical act to a great spiritual dimension, but it also gives us the ability to understand these things as well. Now, we often use words. We talk about ideas. We talk about things that we hear, things that we read, but do we truly understand them? Because to understand something, in order to intellectually grasp it and to know it fully, takes tremendous effort. It takes tremendous energy, often to the point of total exhaustion. Now, this is something that took place at Sinai as well. It wasn't only that God now gave us the mechanism through the mitzvahs to bring about a synthesis, a wholeness, an absolute completion of creation. But he also gave us the gift of knowing these things, understanding these things, delving in to the purpose of creation, the meaning of a mitzvah, what it's all about, and how, in fact, this mitzvah is a pillar that connects the highest of the high and the lowest of the low. It's a conduit which brings down divine energy and elevates the physical to a higher purpose. He gave us the ability to understand those things. Yes, it doesn't come easy. It's not something which simply pops into our mind. It's not something that we hear and now we know it. No, it takes effort. It takes energy. This idea of Talmud Torah, the study of God's divine wisdom, is an absolute obligation upon each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has to not only do it right, we have to understand it as well. We have to devote ourselves in time with attitude of devotion, with attitude of discipline to the study of Torah. The study of Torah is vital. The study of Torah makes it real. The study of Torah brings our levels of faith to a higher dimension as well. Yes, of course, we believe with absolute conviction and faith that this is the Word of God, this is the teaching of God, this is God's wisdom. But at the same time, God wants us to understand how, in fact, these things work, how, in fact, each and every mitzvah has tremendous dimensions of insight, of knowledge. We take a look at the great books of Torah, and we are amazed at the incredible world of knowledge that is there. The idea of knowing, the idea of understanding, the idea of doing, the idea of not only participating in bringing about unity, but understanding it as well. More of that.
This is the Weekly Parsha with Rabbi Mendel Lipska from Chabad of Hyde Park.
We're talking about Yitro. We're talking about why, in fact, he is given the incredible honor of the Torah being given in the Parsha that contains his name. based upon what we taught, that the idea of Matan Torah is to bring about the highest of the high together with the lowest of the low. And to understand that process, to understand through the study of Torah what it means to actually make it part and parcel of our own minds as well. This is what Yitro truly represents. He was a man of incredible intellect, as mentioned earlier. He was a man who understood every single philosophy. He was a man who served every single idol, understood it fully, thoroughly, and completely, and was able to disprove it, to show that it was wrong, shallow, empty. It simply did not fulfill any meaningful spiritual purpose. It was based upon, ultimately, a lie. This is what Yitro is all about. Yitro is not only an individual who commits himself to God's Torah, to God's way of life, but he is an individual who has truly exhausted intellectually each and every single notion that might be a conflict to God. In a sense, what Yitro is doing is he is paving the road of the world to receive the Torah. He says the Torah is ready to come down and there is no obstacle. I have disproven each and every single form of idolatry. I have shown through my intellect that all these ideas are false. All these ideas are simply wrong. All these ideas are ultimately empty, and therefore there is no opposition to the idea of one God. There is no opposition to the idea of what God truly is, and therefore his word can now descend into this world because I have removed all the obstacles. I have paved the way for Torah to be given into the world. That's the greatness of Yitro. Yitro's greatness, of course, he had mistakes earlier in life, but because he searched for truth, because he was an intellectual giant, because he was an individual who understood things, who knew things, who thoroughly knew things, he was able to disprove them and bring about only the one true word of one true God. And this is what this parsha is all about. And this is why the incredible fanfare, the spectacular show of light and sound and billowing mountain world standing with incredible awe to receive the Torah. Because even though we're talking about simple things, these simple things are not simple at all. Each and every single mitzvah, as mentioned earlier, becomes a conduit, becomes a method through which and by which we are able to bring down the very essence of divine energy into this physical world and to take ourselves, to take our physical world and to elevate it to a higher purpose. And this is why the world was in awe. Everything was exploding. What is happening over here? Yes, it sounds like simple laws, but these simple laws, these simple commandments, these seeming simple mitzvot are so incredibly powerful that they are able to fulfill the ultimate purpose of God's creation of bringing together the highest of the high and the lowest of the low. They become pathways, they become conduits that connect these two incredible dimensions, the physical and the spiritual, allowing for interaction between the two. This is what this parsha is all about. And this is why it's so important to read this parsha with a tremendous degree of understanding what in fact is taking place. Yes, as we read it, it's a wonderful story. It's a great story. It talks to us about miracles. It talks to us about God coming down at Sinai. It talks to us about the Jewish people, millions of people standing round that mountain, Mount Sinai, somewhere in the wilderness ready to receive the Torah. It talks to us about the sounds. It talks to us about the thunder and the lightning and the world standing the way it was, everyone in awe, absolute silence on behalf of everyone to receive the Torah. And then comes the message. The message is, don't kill, don't murder, don't steal, be moral. Understand what's yours is yours. Don't be jealous. Don't covet that which is not yours. Understand that this all is part of what you have to do, but it's not only what you have to do in order to live a life which is correct. It's in order to live a life that creates conduits constantly between the high and the low. It shows how powerful we can be through the fulfillment of physical mitzvot. Each and every one of them becomes a tremendous source of energy that brings about unity, that brings about fulfillment within creation. And this is why this Shabbos, when you're in shul, not only listen to the story carefully, but make a commitment. The commitment, of course, to fulfill these mitzvot, to fulfill these commandments, but equally so to understand them as well. To commit yourself to a form of study, to a time of study, to a class, to, well, today it's so easy. There are so many books that are written in language that we understand. Everything is available in audio as well. We live in a world where the study of Torah becomes easier and easier. All it takes is our dedication, our commitment. And once we commit our intellect, we will be overwhelmed, amazed by how our minds develop, our understanding of godliness develops, our understanding of the world, our understanding of our purpose in the world. This is why, when you hear the parasha being read tomorrow, not only listen to the story, it's a fascinating story, but listen as well to your heart and to your mind and make that commitment. A commitment to observe, a commitment to study, a commitment to create more and more conduits which allow for the descent of divine energy into this physical world and the upliftment of this physical world into higher dimensions. Good Shabbos.